It's Friday, January 4th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, it's the first show of the year. Happy New Year to everyone. Hey, I got a great show for you. Lots to talk about, lots to get caught up on. Strap in, because you know, here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. How's everyone doing? Welcome to the show. Welcome to 2008. Wow, what a new year. How's everybody been? Did you survive? Did anybody have a hangover? Everyone drive with a designated driver? I hope you all are back with me. Are you back at work? Are you still on vacation? Wow, lots and lots going on here. And it just seems like, you know, because of the Christmas, the way everything Christmas and New Year's fell, seems like it's been forever, yeah? Well, I've been busy, and I'm sure many of you have as well. I know some of you are getting back to work, getting back to the regular grind. Kids are getting ready to go back to school. Mine are still off to the 14th, but that's another story. But wow. Lots and lots going on. And of course, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. And this is the start of a great season here. We got some good things going to be happening in the very near future. But of course, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. And of course, you can check out the archive podcast via the podcast link. And of course, sign up for our newsletter. We'll talk a little bit about the newsletter a little bit later. But you will get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show if you are subscribed to that. So make sure you get subscribed to the newsletter. Wow, what's going on? Well, getting ready for the big event. The big event being the Consumer Electronics Show. I've packed, almost. I sent ahead one big box of stuff, FedEx overnight to the hotel, to Monte Carlo there in Vegas, and I've got my hard case filled to the rim, and I hope I'm under 50 pounds on that box, and a suitcase that's just absolutely loaded. And I was telling Shoko tonight, I said, honey, we may have to drop something at FedEx tomorrow. Again, I don't know if I can get it all in here and make the weight. It's cheaper to ship it via FedEx than it is to take it on the airplane. But Annie McCaskey and I have been on the phone quite a bit with one another, getting ready for this big, monstrous event. And lots of great content's going to be coming forth from the show. We look forward to, of course, bringing it to you. And that coverage is going to start probably, I would imagine you're going to see some coverage starting Saturday and Sunday, and of course hot and heavy then Monday through Thursday. Most of the content that we'll be putting out will be video coverage. We are going to be putting up some text, you know, just pure text stuff, very little raw audio. But we're going to have some back channel video, which I think you're going to find is going to be very cool. We're playing around with that a little bit. So lots of stuff for you guys to absorb over the next week. And I do apologize. I know some of you had problems with the video that I put online. But I will definitely was working through that. And hopefully that won't be an issue for any more video that's going to go up on the website. But let me see here. I guess what should I cover first here in regards to everything else? Let's back up a little bit and, of course, talk about the end of the year. I was we had gotten scheduled to go over and spend some time with some friends of ours, and they live on a ridge that overlooks, well, they got a view just to die for. They really do. They can see all the way into Waikiki, all the way through Pearl Harbor. They just have this huge, huge view. And we sit on their back porch, and I was astounded by the aerial fireworks display that was going on, that lasted essentially from about 8 a.m. until about 1 in the morning. It was simply amazing. And aerial fireworks here in Hawaii at one time were legal, but they are not legal anymore. So everything that we were seeing going up was definitely illegal fireworks. It wasn't sanctioned fireworks or anything like that. But the crescendo, of course, as we approached midnight, just was amazing. I don't know how many thousands upon thousands of aerial fireworks we saw, but it was definitely thousands, in the multiple thousands that we were watching. And it was just, you know, boom, 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 just that quick, continuously, and for like 5 hours. It was a show that, unbelievable show to watch, but had a great New Year's, and everything was going really well. And wife and I enjoyed the evening out. Had the kids with us, of course. Kind of lazy around here on the first. Watched the Warriors here in Hawaii get really beat up pretty bad by the by Georgia and in the Sugar Bowl. And so we watched that. Took our lumps with that game. But ever since then, I've just been cranking hard, getting ready to roll here. I finished up a class, and you know. One thing that a lot of people don't understand is really since I have been off work, really when I retired from the Navy, I've been on what's called terminal leave. And terminal leave is all your vacation time, all the house hunting time they give you, everything else that you've had build up. And I had leave build up that was I was going to lose back in September, actually in October that I took in September. So really, I've been off a whole bunch here and officially on December 31st, actually in January 1st at 001, I officially no longer carried an active duty Navy ID card. Now I have a blue ID card. So I guess in the true sense of the word, I've been retired for 2 or 3 months, but my official date was December 31st. So I told my lovely wife, I said, well, I said, we're officially retired. And she goes, yeah, get to work. But with that, I'm going to be doing some travel. I'm going to be out in Virginia, probably the first week of February. I'm probably going to be down in the Indianapolis area. The second week of February, I may be out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, even sometime in February. So I'm going to have a very busy travel schedule. I'm going to be doing some things. We'll be talking about that at a later point. But going to be in the mainland for a while. So if any of you are in those particular areas, Washington, D.C. area, I definitely look forward to hooking up with some of the Ohana and those specific neighborhoods. What else have I got on my little list here? Oh, had a real wild phone call. Came in yesterday. And I answered the phone here, and it was a guy said, hey, this is so-and-so with CNN. I said, oh. Hi, how you doing? And we had a conversation. Apparently, CNN is going to have a crew out at the Consumer Electronics Show, and they were looking for some information on what we were going to be doing and then talking about some possibilities of having an appearance on CNN. So I'll be letting you know about that. I'm waiting for the details to come through for the CNN folks. So they're putting that all together right now. So actually, keep your eye peeled on the blog. You might actually get to see me on CNN. At least that's at least what they told me on the phone. So we'll see. Also been talking with some local Hawaii, not only television and radio stations. They're going to actually have me on here in Hawaii. I'm going to be calling back in and reporting and maybe even submitting some video to them as well. So mainstream media is reaching out to the podcasting folks and bloggers. So I think it's pretty cool that they are that they're doing that. But we'll keep you advised on what the scheduling is and if I'm even going to, you know, get any access to any national type of TV. The OLPC, heard back from the One Laptop Per Child folks on the two missing in action laptops that were delivered but not delivered. And they have started the claim with those. So hopefully they'll have some resolution for me here in a couple of days. The other three are still ordered and on their way. Well, whenever they get delivered, we'll see. But we'll keep you advised on that. But the OLPC folks have been really, really good. I did put up some more segments of the 24-hour podcast. And if you really look at the numbering sequence, you might if you want to, you know, listen to more of those. There's 27 segments. And even though I haven't posted all the segments, I'll let you all in on the secret that they're there. But I will definitely have the rest of the postings put up in the next couple of days. Hey, do you remember when I was telling you about a month ago that my wife's new washer and dryer, that the washer went on the blink on her after about 8 uses? You know, the parts finally came just before Christmas. And I called the service department that was, you know, basically the ones going to come out and put these parts in. And I said, hey, the parts are here and I need you guys to come get these things installed. She goes, oh, yes, sir. Well, let me see here. My schedule, another 3 weeks before we can get out to your house. I said, what? Another 3 weeks? I've already waited a month for parts. You're telling me I have to wait another 3 weeks? She says, yes. I hung up on her. This was Whirlpool's service people. So I went back to the place where we had purchased these, and I was not a nice customer. And basically I said, I demand that you, you know, I'm explain the story. And the manager was cool. They let me exchange the washer, and they're going to send it back, whatever they do with it. And I say, hey, I got the parts. You want the parts? I'll give you the parts, you know, for the washer with it. And so he graciously accepted those, and they're going to do with whatever they have to do. But, you know, I'm sorry. 2 months to get a washer fixed, you know, that is just, and a new one at that? Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And these were top-of-the-line Whirlpool washer and dryers, the HT and all the, you know, all the fancy controls and everything. Beginning to think that a cheaper Whirlpool washer and dryer would be better. So Whirlpool, you didn't win no bonus points with me. And if any of you out there run into a service issue with any type of appliance, definitely let me know. I'd love to hear about it. Now, when I get back from the Consumer Electronics Show, we're going to have to do another roundtable relatively soon. So I would expect maybe not the weekend right after I get back. I don't know if I'll be in much shape to do anything, but the following weekend, we'll definitely have a tech podcast roundtable. Lots of stuff definitely will be to talk about, and probably more than we'll be essentially be able to cover. So I'll let you know about that. Of course, keep you advised. And hey, everyone, thanks. Thanks for, you know, hanging with the schedule here and going through the holidays and the new year. You know, a couple shows down was kind of nice. Really was. Got a nice little break. And ready for this big thing next week. Now, the content's going to be a little different. So what I will do is not only will there be a video file available for you to download, but there'll also be audio as well. Because we're going to be hosting the video primarily over on blip.tv. Now, you'll be able to get all the embeds and everything at Geek News Central or at techpodcast.com. That's probably a place I'd really want you to go look for it, because we'll have all the latest stuff up there as well. But go ahead and actually, you know, stay subscribed to the RSS feed, because we'll be sending down both audio and video. So you get the audio of the event as well as the video. And the audio stuff, you know, it's not going to be as long as a normal show, because the video stuff is relatively short. So we hope that, you know, you'll enjoy that while we're there. And, of course, the following week we'll be back into our normal programming here with, I'm sure, lots of exciting things to talk about. Let's take care of a little business here. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. Domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, and we've got the best promo codes available from GoDaddy.com. When you get to that checkout counter, enter the promo code TODD. That'll get you 10% off. Geek5 on orders of $20 or more will get you 15% off. And of course, use the promo code TODD20. This is a good one, TODD20, when you sign up for a 1 year shared hosting account. 20%. Now, if you sign up for a 2 year and take care of the GoDaddy discount that they give you for a 2 year subscription plus additional 20%, it's a huge, huge, huge savings. So, thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. And of course, it's a new year, folks. And if you're, whether you're in your business or you're doing travel, whatever it is, you don't always have to get on an airplane to go meet with someone. you know, these days, you should be able to meet online, and you can do that with GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. Today, you can hold meetings instantly online with just by the click of a button. So you're definitely going to want to try GoToMeeting out. Unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. Try GoToMeeting today. All right, folks, we've got a whole pile here. I mean, a big pile of stuff to go over. And I mean, it's just like a tech embargo. All the tech embargoes have been lifted. I've got so much stuff in my CES inbox. I really, it would take an army of people to get through it. And I'm not an army. I'm an army of one. That's kind of an oxymoron for a Navy guy to say that. But anyway, you know, it's just too much to go through. And I definitely am going to give you some pointers tonight on where to really go look for content for CES. Now, of course, we want you to be watching the stuff we're going to be talking about, but there's going to be a lot of other avenues where you're going to be able to get a lot of information. But I have a wide assortment of stuff for you tonight. Let's go ahead and get into that. I'm in a talkative mood. I don't know what it is. It's probably going to be a long show. But I'm going to start out off with and I don't normally read this guy's website, but I found something in here that was actually pretty alarming. And this is non-technical in nature, but I thought you all needed to know about this. And it kind of fits in line with some of the things we've talked about before. But he's reporting that TSA is going to punish flyers for face crimes. Apparently, travelers at SeaTac and dozens of other major airports across America are being scrutinized by teams of TSA behavior detection officers, specially trained to discern the subtlest suspicious behavior. In other words, they're looking at your face. And they're calling it a spot program where they're looking at people and they're analyzing and saying, oh, he twitched the wrong way. He must be a bad person, and pull him out for additional screening or whatever they're going to do. But this is, you know, to think that they're looking at our faces for behavioral characteristics is just, it blows me away. It really, really does. I'm sure this is a defined science that really works. But the irony is that he linked to a book by George Orwell entitled 1984, and it's in part one of chapter five, and it's essentially talking about how in the future essentially people were face expressions are being used to determine if a person has committed a crime. They're calling it face crime in this book. So what are we going to do now? You stand at the TSA, you know, going through the security checkout counter, and you scowl at the person that's being too doggone slow to check stuff, and he pulls you out of line, and you get a pat down because you scowled at him. It's be interesting to see where they're going to go with this. Kind of scary, really. Now, this next article, I don't even know if I want to get into it, and I don't think I will. But I'm going to leave you with this headline. I'm going to let you guys go read it and form your own opinion on it. And I'd really like some feedback on it. I guess we could probably get into the conversation sometime. It kind of is on the science front, science/environmental front. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with the alarmist title that they put in this, but they put a title in this Guardian Unlimited article that says, "Trees Absorbing Less CO2 as World Warms." You know, you think about that off the top of your head, it's like, huh? Trees not absorbing as much CO2? How's that? Well, that was what I said, but you go on and read the article, you understand where they're coming from here. But I'll leave this in the kind of the cool things I found. I'll let you guys make a response to it. Let me know what you think. And I don't buy into all the stuff they're saying here. But while I do understand some of the mechanics of some of the things that we're doing on the planet today, they're causing, you know, more CO2 to actually be put in the air. I don't know. You guys check this out. Let me know what you think. Definitely want to hear some feedback. Of course, call the voicemail hotline. Let's get that thing fired up in the new year. 619-342-7365. Or definitely email me at geeknews@gmail.com. How many of you have ever been in a computer where the Internet Explorer was locked down? You couldn't go anywhere. How would you like to surf the web even if you find one of those computers that's locked down? Well, all you really need to do is go and click F1 to load a help window. And guess what that's going to allow you to do? It's going to allow you to surf the internet via the help window. You can just go in and type in a web address. And, you know, just load calculator up and then load help and then see what you can do about surfing the internet in the actual system. The little instructions on how to do it, very easy to be done, and might get you out of a pinch when you're at a computer that's locked down to not allow Internet Explorer. And I know that some of you work at IT shops where the IT Nazis have things locked down, that's for sure. Over on lifehacker.com, the 20 best iPhone and iPod Touch applications. And they've got a great list of different applications you can load up on your iPhone. So I'll leave these up here. The one I like the best, Solitaire. You know, pretty soon they get all these fancy different types of applications. You know, you've got all these different social media things. And here I like the iSolitaire. How many of you still play Solitaire on your Windows machine? I do every once in a while. Okay, for those of you that are have started or are using Linux, if you're looking at it or if you're considering it, here are 5 tips every Linux user should know. And there's some great tips in this article. I have this linked up. This is made available as well by DownloadSquad.com. So 2 great articles by them and some really things that you can use in order to make yourself more productive in Linux and, you know, play with the new operating system safe. How many of you heard about IPv6? Well, I'm not going to go into too much detail about this, but it essentially is the internet right now has been running on what's called IPv4. And for a long time, they've been, and it's how DNS records work. And they're getting ready to start implementing IPv6 on a couple of the top level domain name servers. And really what happens here is that you get the best way to explain it for the non-geek is that when you get your telephone book in the mail and you open it up and you look for somebody, if anybody actually uses a telephone book anymore, gets in there and looks up the name of a person, it gives you their telephone number. Well, there is a big, a big telephone book in the sky, and there's a number of these major hubs that have the master phone books. Well, they can only hold so many addresses, and we're starting to run out of essentially number of IPs. Now, when you talk about every computer that's on the internet, every telephone, anything that's connected gets an IP, and that IP is typically a 12-digit number. It could be like, give me an example, 192.168.255.255. That's, you know, that's just an example of a IP address. Well, IPv4, there's just a limit on the number of domain name addresses, because when you go to geeknewscentral.com, you're not going to the domain, you're going to an actual IP number that's of that particular machine. So the DNS routes you to the particular computer, and then when it gets to the computer says, oh, you're here for Geek News Central, I understand that, here's the page for Geek News Central. Well, IPv6 is going to open up just a plethora of new IP addresses. We're going to have essentially, the better term for it, almost an unlimited number of IP addresses will be available underneath the new IPv6 structure. So when they're going to implement these, there's a lot of things that could go wrong, and there's been a lot of studying done in trying to make sure that when the conversion starts going to IPv6, that all of the older legacy systems are going to be able to continue to be able to essentially call that phone book and find where the address is it needs to go and route the traffic. So right now, and of course, with the original domain name system, they only allowed for 512 byte packets in the DNS protocol. And with the 13 root servers, they're already over 400 bytes. So they need to really expand this. And with the IPv6, this is going to allow us to push well beyond the 512 limit. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens here, because this is a true first rollout of this that is going to affect a lot of systems. So if you're running some legacy bind systems or some very old DNS systems, you're definitely going to want to look into this, especially for those of you that are system administrators out there. And they do have some protocols in place that's going to make sure that if you have a system that's not fully compatible, you're going to be able to still essentially get to where you need to get to go. And it's probably more geeky than I needed to get into, but this is actually a good thing, folks. IPv6, it's going to open up a lot. The world possibilities of it's going to make the internet really last into the future so far as, you know, people being able to get IPs for devices and phones. And, you know, essentially, at some point, probably we're all going to have a lot of different IPs in our homes as we have smart devices. All right, over on geekabout.com, they've got an article that is entitled Top 17 Most Bizarre Sites on Google Earth. And I think a few of these look like they're really photoshopped, but some of them are kind of an optical illusion, as you would say. And some of these I've seen before, and a couple of these I don't believe were actually pictures. They definitely look, photoshopped. But anyway, I'll let you guys check these out, and let me know what you think. Let me know what you think about the car driving on the side of the wall, and whether or not you think these are really Google Earth pictures. Have fun with them. Share them with coworkers. Also, I have a link up in the show notes to an extraordinary picture that was taken by the Hubble. It's an amazing picture. It really, really is. And some of you may have seen this before. It was one that I have not seen, but the link will be up in the show notes. Big controversy today was Robert Scoble got his Facebook access essentially cut off, and he was using a program by the folks over at Plaxo that was allowing him to, well, essentially what it was doing was going in and scraping his information from Facebook, and the Facebook people caught on because he was scraping a lot of pages at one time, and their algorithm said, hey, you're being a bad boy. And you're not doing what you're supposed to do through our terms of service. So the problem that the folks, they could have got away with this if Plaxo would have been smart and set up the scanning program to essentially go much slower and not crash through a bunch of pages at once. But what he was trying to do was he was trying to get his data off Facebook. He was trying to get his data back. And what he was doing is he wanted to marry up the friends he had on Facebook with the friends he's got on Plaxo, and without having to manually add them all. And it would just allow, you know, this interaction and allow him to use both services. Well, Facebook said, no, you can't do that. You can't take your information with you. It's locked in here. It's against our terms of service. You can't go somewhere else. So it's part of a big issue that's out there right now with so many of these services. They lock your data in and you have no place to go. And it's something that we've been looking at Raw Voice, and some of the things that we've got planned on rolling out on Blueberry is we want to make sure that people are able to grow as their shows want to grow and give some people some flexibility, make sure they're not locked in. We're tired of having, you know, I'm just like this Facebook thing. And this is how it kind of relates, and this is something we've been talking about for a while. Why would you want to be tied into a portal that would be a walled garden and it would not allow you to grow as your show would grow, or it would allow you to grow as your usage grows? If, you know, you're over on Facebook, you know, and you're saying, this is serving my purpose, but, you know, this website over here has got the, you know, features that I really want to use. Why shouldn't I be able to take my data and go? Well, Facebook doesn't want you to do that. That's not how they make billions of dollars when they get bought out. So they lock you in and they say you can't take your data with you. But, you know, I think we need to, as consumers, we really need to start saying we want our data. We want to be able to do with it what we want to do. We want to be able to go where we want to go. We want to don't want to have to go through, you know, signing up for 25 different sites and adding people 25 different times. That just gets ridiculous. There needs to be a clearinghouse of sorts where this data can be cross-correlated, and hopefully companies will start working together, but I don't think they will. Now, Facebook is not going to join Google's open social. We know that. You know, that's they're not going to do that unless Google buys them. Now, there's also the data portability movement over at dataportability.org. You know, you can almost forget about them, you know, adhering to some of the things that they're promoting. So I think if you are a new company And if you want to be different, you want to stand out, I think you need to look at the open social and you need to look at data portability movement. You need to build your products around that because, number one, your users are going to like you more. And, you know, if they like you, they're going to talk about you. And I think everyone needs to be able to do what they want to do with their own data. Facebook has subsequently allowed Robert back in, gave him a, you know, kind of a slap on the wrist. But this caused a just absolute firestorm of commentary today that was, you know, some people accused Robert of being a thief. Some people said he was, it was just amazing. It really, really was. And all he really wanted was his data. And he owns that data, you know, but they said, no, you can't scrape your own data. I think that's wrong. I hope you guys think that's wrong. And I hope at some point in the future, you know, we stand up as users of these products and demand it. That's the only way this is going to, you know, if we demand it and enough people say, I've had enough and I'm not using your service unless you open it up. That's what it's going to take. But sadly, most people don't care. Most people aren't informed enough to make the move. So I'm going to have a number of links up on this tonight because there's a whole bunch of different point of views. And I want you guys to get all sides of the fence on this. And what do you guys think? I want to hear what you want to what you have to say about this. Go through, read the articles. Get yourself fully educated on both sides of the table. Take what I've said. Form your own opinion. And, you know, blast me a voicemail and let's fire it up. Let's say, what do you want? And what do you expect? 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365 is the number you call to get into the voicemail or geeknews@gmail.com. Now, this next one's just going to blow you away. It's just going to, it's going to rattle you to the core. Imagine you go to the local mall and you're a grandparent and you're going there to, to hook up with your kids and you're going to see the grandchildren. And when you're there, you whip out the camera and you're going to take a couple pictures of the grandkids. But the mall security walks up to you and says, sir, you are not allowed to take a picture in the mall. What do you mean? I can't take a picture. Nope. Policy says you can't take a picture in here because of security. We're worried about pictures getting out on the internet because it could allow terrorists to make a terrorist attack against someone in this if they knew the layout of this mall. Huh? This is exactly what happened to a couple in the UK. They were thrown out of the shopping center after they took a camera out to snap the look on their youngster's face when they turned up unexpectedly. Now, subsequently, they've been allowed back in after just raising all kinds of cane and after they got some press. But can you imagine that? You're not allowed to take a picture. You are in a public place. Although you're on private property, I guess they have the right to say that. Go ahead. Go ahead and tell teenagers that are in a mall hanging out that they can't take their camera phones out and take pictures of their friends. Tell them. Go ahead. Tell them. Can't believe it. What a bunch of whacked out. This is going too far. It really, really is. It's the shopping center security policies. Yep, it's what's this world coming to, folks? And I bet you that if someone was actually planning to do something naughty, I'm sure they would walk through with a camera that they could easily see and just be taking pictures. You don't think that someone that's going to be doing something bad won't walk through with a camera disguised or, you know, one of those, pocket cameras or something like that taking a picture? Come to CES. There's going to be cameras everywhere. Andy and I are going to be wearing cameras and doing back channel live video. Oh, yes. That's going to be fun. Tell me to take off my camera. Yeah. Well, probably the hotels would be a little funny about it, walking through the casino with a camera on. I don't think they would allow or will allow. That will definitely be an issue. Okay, ultra pretty Dell Crystal LCD monitors are now available, and these things look absolutely stunning. the stunning price of $11.99, though. They have a 1680 by 1050 WSXGA. It's got a 2 Microsoft response time, and it's got speakers built into it. It's got webcam, DVI, HDCDB compliant, HDMI, not to mention it's got a DisplayPort connectivity, all contained in one cable. It's got true color technology with 98% color gamut, along with a 2001 dynamic contrast radio. This thing is gorgeous. Now, before you go out and run and buy this, we're going to talk about some problems the guy's had with a television set that he's actually bought, or actually a screen that he bought is HD. Now, I don't think you're going to run into it with this particular device, but wow, this thing's pretty. If you are into having something super stylish on your desktop, this is what you're going to want to get. Just an amazing, amazing price, though. considering that some regular monitors are much, much cheaper. But you're paying for style, folks. You really, really are. Okay, here we go. This is probably the story of the night. And this just shocks me. I mean, I'm just shaking my head over this. And it's all about DRM and about how nasty the movie studios have gotten to the point where hardware that you buy may prevent you from watching movies on your computer. So here's this gentleman. He is subscribed to Netflix. He gets Netflix, the Netflix video stuff where he can get on the internet and download movies that way. He can watch them on his monitor on his computer, which is cool. And he's got Windows Media Player, and, you know, he's all set. And, he gets this HD TV, and actually he buys an HD monitor. And he gets it plugged up, hooked up. And he loads it up, and there's a movie viewer message that pops up that says, Microsoft DRM software error. Your Microsoft Digital Rights Management software is not working properly and needs to be reset. To resolve this issue, call Netflix technical support or contact technical support here and report the following error code. If you are comfortable running a utility to fix this problem yourself, may you also follow the instructions in our FAQ on the reset DRM utility. So he loads this Netflix Reset Microsoft DRM utility, and this is the message that pops up with this application. Now imagine he's got an HD monitor, he's got a Windows Media Center system that does not have an HD video output. So you're following me on this so far? You just got the HD monitor, and this message comes up, says, this program will reset the Microsoft DRM Digital Rights Management Store on your computer. This will potentially remove playback issues from your computer, including those from companies other than Netflix or Microsoft. You may later need to re-enter passwords or contact the services from which you purchased digital content to restore those licenses. Before clicking Reset DRM, make sure you have noted the account and password information for the services from which you obtain digital movies and music. We also recommend backing up your digital content as an additional safeguard. Continue with this operation? Yes or no? all of us would read that and we'd be like, huh? DRM? It's going to reset all my DRM? No. You're going to say no. So when he called Netflix Technica Support, it confirmed his worst fears. He said, in order to access the Watch Now services, I had to give Microsoft DRM sniffing program access to all the files on my hard drive. If the software found any non-Netflix video files, it would revoke his rights to the content and invalidate the DRM. You hear this? Because he put an HD monitor on his TV, on his Windows Media Center, and wanted to watch a Netflix video with the Watch Now service, he couldn't, just because he had an HD monitor on there. He said, this means I would lose all the movies I purchased from Amazon Unbox just to troubleshoot the issue. Technically, there's a way to back up the licenses before doing a DRM reset, but it's a pretty complex process, even by my standards. When I asked Netflix for more details, they referred to me Amazon for assistance. He says, perhaps even worse than having to choose between having access to Netflix or giving up my unboxed movies was the realization my real problem was actually tied to the shiny new monitor that I've already grown fond of. Netflix software allows them to look at the video card, cables, and the monitor that you're using, and when they checked mine out, it was apparently a little too high def to pass their DRM filters. As part of their agreement with Hollywood, Netflix uses a program called COPP, COP. It's actually Certified Output Protection Protocol. It was made by Microsoft. The protocol restricts how you are able to transfer digital files off your PC. When I ran COP to identify the error in my machine, it gave me this ominous warning that the exclusive Semaphore is owned by another process. So in other words, here you've got Hollywood being so screwed up in trying to protect DRM, being able to protect media, that this guy puts an HD monitor on his computer and it says, Oh no, that's too high def for you to watch that, and you might be able to get that data off your HD monitor and actually steal that video. Give me a break. This is behavior that is just unbelievable. It's beyond the pale. I'm telling you, folks, this is how they're going to do this. Through software and hardware, they're going to lock us out of fair use rights of the content that we have. It's going to be so difficult to watch content legally, people are going to say the heck with it, and they're going to continue to download content via BitTorrent. It would be better if you had downloaded it from a BitTorrent site, because guess what? No DRM. Is this ridiculous? You got to read this article. If I was this guy, I would hire a lawyer and I would sue the living heck out of Microsoft, Netflix, everyone. I would sue the heck out of them. Put a class action lawsuit up and say, you are denying me access to content that I have legally paid for because of your stupid DRM says I have a high-def monitor on my computer. I would freak out. This guy needs to call his congressman. Something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong here with the whole system. Here's a guy that's paying. He's paying for this content. These companies are harming paying customers. Unbelievable. Simply unbelievable. Let me know what you think. Definitely tell me. Tell me where you guys are at on this. Call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. All right, a few things from some stuff that's breaking, news breaking on some new products. Engadget's reporting that the PowerMind E900 from Creative Power is probably one of the coolest power dongles I've seen in a while. And you look at something like this, you go, wow, how come I didn't think of that? Link will be in the show notes. Wait to see it. You're going to be like, yeah. That's cool. That's smart. Not to mention, Belkin's coming out with how many of you have got one kid in the family has a MP3 player? My daughter, I gave her one of the MP3 players that I had gotten as a review product. And I gave it to her for Christmas. And I got her all set up and she was putting her music on it. We were not going to say how she ripped the music to put on her MP3 player, but that's what she did. Music that she owns legally, okay? So don't get me wrong. But here my younger son, he's like eyeing this thing, and she's got music, and she's jamming to it in the car, and he's like, I want to listen. So they put one earbud in each ear. And of course, then the four-year-old, he wants to listen too, so then they're holding up an earphone trying to share with him. But anyway, Belkin's got a dongle now. It's called Belkin's Rockstar, channels jams to five others. So you have one out and then four other people can plug in. But, you know, I wonder if the RIAA and ASCAP is going to probably go after people that own this Belkin Rockstar, because now, because you are playing your music and you're sharing it with others, you're not, it's a live performance, right? So I'm sure this product is going to win the admiration of all of those groups. But yeah, it's going to be available for like $20, and there'll probably be a $100 licensing fee on it, because, you know, it's a performance. You know, you're performing a service by allowing people to tap in and listen to the music. You know, not only are we going to rip music and put it in our MP3s that we're going to get sued for, but now we're going to share with four or five of our friends. Oh, we got supposed to charge admission when people come into our house and we're listening to the radio too, right? You can tell I'm being a little sarcastic here. All right, any of you that have shelled out the $779 to score N95 8GB smartphone, you may be pleased to know that its most recent update appears to improve the S60 browser to integrate Adobe Flash Lite 3. So now you can enjoy inline viewing of Flash videos and therefore access the entire YouTube library. Or if you're over at Geek News Central and you're watching the Flash videos we put up for CES, you'll be able to do it right on your N95. All right, how many of you, and this is, we're going to ask, you don't have to reply here via the voicemail line, or you don't have to dime yourself out, but how many of you have had a few too many to drink before and said, do I call a cab or do I drive home? And I'm sure there's been a few of you that have decided to go ahead and just drive, right? Well, what do? You roll down the windows, you drink some coffee, you've had a couple of breath mints. You know, you've done everything you can to make sure that if you are pulled over by the local police department, that you're going to be able to pass, with flying colors, where you're not going to get pulled out for a field sobriety test. Well, they've got a new device. It's called the Hawkeye. And the Hawkeye can record your eye movement, pupil size, and accurately determine whether or not you are impaired, regardless of the substance used. So this device has been awarded a couple of patents. So what you're going to be doing now is, they're not going to have to do too much to find out if you're impaired. I'll, tell you to turn your head, look out the window. They'll stick this thing through the window and kind of put it up against your face a little bit and do a couple of quick tests. And if they've decided that you are, through this device, they'll decide you're impaired, they'll haul you off to jail. So you don't have to worry about trying to beat the police by breath mints, coffee, and having the windows open. They're going to get you through a pupil movement. So beware. These are coming out. They're out there. And probably for the better for the most of us. I agree. All right. My heart goes out to O'Malik. It's reporting on his blog today that he had a heart attack during the holidays. He was able to get to the hospital on his own power. And now he is in recovery mode. He is one of the primary contributors over at GigaOM, or probably, I guess, the contributor over at GigaOM. So we wish O'Malik a speedy recovery. I'm sure he will not be out to CES because of this. But this broke earlier today. And I'm telling you, people, and probably me included, we all need to get out there and get a little more exercise. Get off our butts and get away from the computers a little more. And I will definitely, my goal here is over the next couple of months to lose some weight. It's not a New Year's resolution. It's just a fact. I need to lose some weight. All right, over on Podcasting News, bloggers, podcasters are now covered by the Freedom of Information Act. And you're like, what do you mean? Everyone can request information through the Freedom of Information Act. Well, yes, but a little differently. Did you know as press, the press would be able to request information through the Freedom of Information Act and actually get a reduced rate on copying and the research and all that stuff. So citizen journalists are journalists under the act. Thus, we'll be able to, have some cheaper access, I guess, to information requested underneath the Freedom of Information Act. All right, I do want to give a shout-out to Robert Schoolboy. I want to thank him for including Geek News Central in his How to Survive CES 2008 Without Getting Off the Couch. And this is a good article to read. And believe me, you don't want to go stand in 2-hour taxi lines. You don't want to fight the 225 or 250,000 people that are going to be traversing the halls there. One thing you're going to want to do is you're definitely going to want to be subscribed and following Engadget and Gizmodo about every 15 minutes. That's how fast content is going to go up with them. I heard that, and so is Robert, that I guess Engadget is going to have more than 10 people walking the floor. Now, the coverage doesn't stop with Engadget and Gizmodo. You're going to want to be watching Crunch Gear, Gear Live. And I tell you, Gear Live, they're going to be, they put up over 100 videos during the show. That's just an amazing, that's an amazing accomplishment. Andrew Edwards from Gear Live, he's going to be there. And Slash Gear, PC Mag, CNET News, the HeList Geek News Central, Yahoo, G4 TV. So it's great to be listed in those core hardcore podcasters and bloggers that are going to be out at CS. Thanks for the coverage, Robert. And of course, he's got some more things here to follow. With what's going on, and it's going to be a great event. It really, really is. So, geeks, get excited. Next week is our week. It really, really is. All right, this next one is for the fellas, especially the single guys. Are you guys all looking to, you know, impress somebody? Would you like to have a good talking piece that's in your home? Well, how would you like to have your picture on, like, Maxim, GQ, Time Magazine? And of course, for the gals, maybe you'd like to be on Cosmopolitan or 17. Or if you really want to go big, maybe you want to have a picture of you being interviewed on CNN. Well, there's a bunch of services out there. One of them called MagMyPick. Another one's Condinet.com, Eurocelebs.com. You can go and, you know, essentially with a little graphical work through these websites, you're able to put your face, a headline, and, you know, some information there, make it look real. And you can print that out and frame it. And when someone comes over and they say, wow, you were on Maxim? Yep. Now, if they go check the issue, it might be a little bit of an issue when they see someone else's picture. But it's, you know, it'd be a great gag gift as well for someone in the office that may have a big head and they think they're all that. You may want to do a little photoshopping yourself and, you know, provide it for the office to review. You know, it's all kinds of ways to play with these websites. So definitely check it out. This is over at labnol.org. I'll have the link up in the show notes on this. Okay, I think what else do I have here? I guess I'm down to some space news. I actually got quite a little, two or three things in space news. And then we're going to go ahead and get into a lot of listener comments and some voicemail. Also, I've gotten a whole bunch of stuff that I found tonight that'll go in the category, basically, cool things that I found that I don't want to talk about in the show. So I have those available at the bottom of the show notes as well. But over on spacetoday.net, they're reporting that astronomers have discovered the youngest exoplanet yet. German astronomers reported this week that they've discovered the youngest extrasolar planet found to date. And it's a world that is still embedded within the protoplanetary disk around its star. And the astronomers detected presence of the exoplanet surrounding the star. And I'm not going to go into this any deeper, but I guess it's only like 8 to 10 million years old. And very, very cool here. So nice find by German astronomers. And the one thing you want to do is on the 24-hour podcast at 24hrpodcast.com, you're definitely going to want to go listen to the podcast where we talk to the Voyager, the scientist is involved in the Voyager program. Very great. It was a 30-minute discussion with him. We covered a lot of ground in the 30 minutes, but a lot of the stuff this guy's involved in, you can tell they got some really smart dudes working within those programs, and he was one of them. So check that out. It's early on in the coverage of the 24hourpodcast.com. I think it's the third or fourth actual posted podcast. Also, spacetoday.net is reporting that the Deep Impact spacecraft flew past Earth. So NASA's Deep Impact spacecraft flew near Earth on New Year's Eve in a maneuver that puts the spacecraft on a course for an extended mission to another comet. And the three-year-old spacecraft flew within 16,000 kilometers above Australia. So this is the first flyby of three planned through 2009 to put the spacecraft in the correct orbit. So kind of cool. You know, you think about this. They sent this thing out to do its thing. It did its thing. Now they've came back and it's done a you know, an Earth boost maneuver Very, very cool. That's a science within itself, you know, using planets as a little gravitational, you know, alignment and push. All right, President signed NASA budget bill. President Bush on Wednesday signed an appropriations bill that gives NASA almost exactly what the White House requested for the agency in 2008, without the extra funds that the Senate had previously endorsed. The omnibus appropriations bill, which includes money for a wide variety of non-military programs, gives NASA $17.3 billion. So they had wanted another billion, but did not happen. So we'll see if they get any more later in the year. So very cool that NASA's been funded, at least for the amount that was initially requested. Okay, what have I got here in show notes tonight? A little off on timing tonight, Abe. It's been out of the chair for a little bit. And so putting the show together, when you miss a couple of, but when you don't do a couple of shows, I can really tell. I can tell the difference. It's like the rhythm of the show isn't the same. And I probably stopped the show 4 or 5 times tonight. I don't know if you guys noticed. And normally I can do the show maybe stopping once or twice and backing up. But I've stopped a number of times tonight just because I haven't got my A game on, that's for sure. Okay. See, I normally don't tell you guys that, but I will. Let me back up here. Let's see how far back I need to go. Let me actually go over to Geek News Central. And when did we actually do the last live podcast here? While I'm doing that, I'm going to go ahead and play a voicemail that I got. And, of course, send your comments, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Let's go ahead and get into the voicemail, and then we'll bust into the actual email comments, which there are plenty of that need to be caught up on. So here comes the voicemail for the night.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago.
Hey,
Tom.
Happy
New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year.
And, hey, congratulations on your 24-hour podcast. I tuned into that. I didn't catch enough of it, but I thought that was really cool. And glad that so many of your listeners were able to raise money for such a great cause. So congrats on that. Very cool to see how technology is come as far as it has. So, and I was just calling regarding the compact, the fluorescent light bulbs. It's so funny because I was listening to Susan Bell's comments from St. Louis, and my wife hates them. I mean, she thought I was nuts. Now, first of all, we have them in our kitchen, and you turn them on, and they're actually dim. They're, like, really dim, and then as they warm up gradually, they actually get brighter and brighter and brighter. And they're very expensive, and that's an issue that I don't think President Bush figured on. Plus, the mercury that's in them is not huge, it's still a concern. So yeah, I'm a little, I don't think they really thought that all through. But then again, there are many things that our government has not thought all the way through. But that's
true.
Maybe another story for another day. my wife hates them. She thinks I'm nuts, and they don't last. They really don't last. I haven't put dates on them, but they are not any better than a halogen or a regular light, and I will see what happens. Hopefully they can improve on the design. I don't think they'll be able to improve on the light quality. But I guess we're stuck with them. What are you going to do?
Well,
talk to you later, Todd. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks. And I got cut off there a little bit. But you know what? That's what we ought to do here. Is anybody tracking how long they've had their halogen bulbs, or actually their compact fluorescent in their light sockets? We'll be able to do it here because we've got them in everything. And we did it when we moved in. So I'll know the start date. I'll let you know when they start burning out. But I tell you, there's only one set that drives me crazy that I replace. And on a ceiling fan we've got some tiny ones. Those, they were out of there in like 2 minutes after I turned them on. I said, oh my gosh, I hate these things. And I put in regular light bulbs. But the rest of the lights, I've got them throughout the rest of the house. And they're fine. Now, we have lamps, a lot of lamps in the house. So the lampshades really soften up the color. And to me, I'm not bothered by them. I'm really not. And I don't know. What's everyone else's experience? You know, what brand have you found that you really like that has a good color? You know, which wattage seems to be the sweet spot. Maybe we can find, if we're going to be stuck with these things, we might as well share some notes here and come up with the right recipe of bulbs to buy. And, I think that would be a good starting point. All right, I'm going to get into the email comments here. And I'm going to apologize right off the bat if I pronounce your name wrong. It's Cerny. He says, "Hey, Todd, here's wishing you and your family a happy new year. I'm looking forward to your coverage of CS 2008. Hope you have a great time and also get some sleep while covering. Best regards." Cerny, no sleep, man. It's just going to be one. There will be no sleep during that event. Well, there will be, but it'll be very, very short. Got an email from John. He said, "Todd, I thought you might be interested in this since you have been promoting the OLPC. Peru has had them for about 6 months." He said, and he goes in and provides me a link, and I have not loaded that link, but I will. He goes on to say, "I'm inspired by the success of your show and others. I'm toying with starting up a blog and podcast. Need to figure out if what I have to say is worth it and could last more than a year. You do a great job with your technology, and I wouldn't like being in competition. I've lots of opinions on government and civil liberties, but why listen to me? Lots of others are out there more suited. Tim," "Tim Russert. I'm just a thought at this point. Keep it up, John." John, here's the deal. Really sit down and think about, if you're still on the fence, if you're following civil liberty stuff and governmental issues, and you are seeing stuff on a daily basis or every couple of days that just drives you crazy, or stuff that you want to talk about, or stuff that you share with friends, if you can find enough information that would allow you to do a 15 to 20 minute show to start off with, then I think you're well suited to get started doing a podcast. Don't be afraid. Here's the thing. Give it a run and decide you're going to do X number of shows and see if you have enough content. And then what you can do is the first 3-4 shows, you can play with the time difference and, the amount of time, or in other words, not the time difference, but how often you want to do the show. I don't suggest ever going more than a week without doing a show. If you're going more than a week without doing a show, you're going to lose your audience. They'll plan something else in that's more on a regular basis. But if you are there with them at least once a week, preferably two or more times a week, they'll plan to listen. People plan to listen to this show like clockwork. But, don't worry about it. Don't spend no money on gear. Just go out and, use what you have now. Download the free software like Audacity to get started and just go for it and experiment with it. And I'm sure, as being a political season, there's going to be at least 2 years of good stuff, no matter who gets elected. Oh my gosh, I could probably do a show on government and civil liberties all by myself. My slant may not be your slant on how I would look at things. So, that's what the benefit of podcasting is that we all have our own opinions and we all have our own viewpoints. And, some people will tune into that. Some people won't, just like some people tune into this show and some people don't. So go ahead, fire away. This is what's the beauty of this, medium. You can do it. You really can. All you got to do is just get started. Do a little pre-planning. Really think about, what your website to be, the branding, how you're going to, what message you're going to come across. And I think you'll do fine. Let me know when you get it up. We'll help you promote it on the show for sure. I got an email from Sam. He's one of the Ohana out in Albuquerque. And hey, Sam, going to be out in your neck of the woods here soon. We'll have to hook up and have a cold one. But, he goes on to say, "Todd, I was reading WebWare's posting on the hits and misses of 2007. He said, and looking into Ning, as this article puts it, with a little know-how, anyone can use Ning to create a simple and useful private social network without having to know a lick of code. I'm considering setting up a Ning implementation for one of the geek groups I belong to, but I thought that it would be cool to have a Geek News Central social network for the listeners to interact with each other." Hey, Sam, go over to Blueberry. That's where I want all you guys to social network, Blueberry. It is a social networking site, okay? So feel free to interact with the Ohana over on the Geek News Central listing on Blueberry. I'll have that linked up in the show notes tonight. He says, "But do you want to do this?" I say, "I think for now I'm going to stay away from Ning. Let's do the things over at GNC or over at Blueberry. I'm sorry. P.S. Listening my way through the 24-hour podcast. Well done. I've tuned in for a while and watched on Ustream. Looking forward to CS coverage. I've watched your pre-video. Nice job. Thanks, Sam. Definitely appreciate it. Get an email from JP. Hey, here's an article that may inspire you to talk about a topic I wonder about all the time, and I'm not talking about the grammatical errors in it. It has to do with the way the future will view this transitional time we are in now, not giving much consideration to how the future will deal with digital photos, videos, and other assets we're keeping up these days. Not to mention that we're facing a tricky time with old films, tape recordings, and slides that may disintegrate, not have an easy way to play back or get transferred to a digital form that does not even last a long time. You know, this is true. This is something we're all facing. I think it's a question a lot of people have asked. And what are we going to do? This is a big, big problem. This is bigger than what, us average folks here that are using technology are going to be able to solve. Some smart people are going to have to come up with a way to make sure that future generations can take our data with us past the grave and pass it on to, future generations. He links me up to an article that was over on geeks.com, and it's called Generation Lost. So I think we talked about this a little bit in the show, but I will have a link up to what he's provided me here. And we all need to think about this. And we all have to stay on top of it as well. If you've got older, think about all the pictures you have now. People aren't going to look at photo albums. You need to get that stuff scanned. I mean, get it at least into a current media format that'll be able to be viewed and used later without the, degradation in quality as pictures age. So we'll have to talk more about this, JP. What's everyone think? Where are we going with with all this digital material we're creating? Are people going to be able to consume it in 10 years, 20, 30, 40? Got an email from Thomas. He says, you told us to tell you what we got for Christmas. He says, I got a 30-gigabyte Zune. I like it a lot so far. It has enough space for my media and a very pretty display, but it's fat. When you leave the wireless on, it drains the battery. When it sinks, it gets hot, and I think Santa left it out on the sleigh too long because battery life doesn't seem to be that great. Thomas. don't know what to tell you, Thomas. I really don't. I'll definitely pass this information on to my friends at Zune, though. I've got a good listening ear over there that wants to hear about all the good and bad things people are experimenting with it. Got an email from Bree. She said, something is very wrong with the podcast download button. There has never been a problem in the past. It displays only ASCII characters and never loads and freezes Firefox. Tried several times, Bree. Yeah, it was a MP4 video file. And not fully sure. I've run those before, but some people definitely had an issue there with actually viewing those. So we'll try to make sure that doesn't happen again, Bree. I got an email from Hammett. He says, Happy New Year, Todd. May you get a lot of new and interesting things this year. Well, I hope so. We'll see. I got an email from Danny or Danielle Marguet, I guess. And she says, or he says, I apologize because I see on the bottom, I think it's Daniel. So I think it's a he. I apologize. He says, Happy 1111101100000, Todd. Hey, he says, hey, I'm a long-time listener. I don't miss your show, and now I'm halfway through your 24-hour madness. I bought a domain name at GoDaddy. I bought a domain name at GoDaddy, even though I still haven't got a hosting provider. I use a Todd during checkout to support you, then get 10% off. Currently have a blog at margaret.wordpress.com, and I'd like to migrate to some place I can manage myself with no restrictions. Could you please recommend a GoDaddy plan that would suit my purpose? Say just one of their shared hosting accounts will be fine for a WordPress blog. Just one of their inexpensive shared hosting accounts will do fine. If you sign up for a year, use that Todd20 code. He says, then I guess associating my domain name with a website will be a piece of cake. By the way, I added you as a Facebook friend. And if you visit my blog, you'll see you're in my list of listened podcasts. My bot is in Catlin, but you have no problem checking that out. Catalan, Catalan. I'm going to have to Google that. Thanks a lot. Hope your niece is much better. And I also wish you good luck at CS. Definitely will be following your audio and video cast. Hey, she's doing much better. I definitely appreciate the call out on that. Thanks so much. Got an email from Nier. Nier says, hey, I have one of those solar chargers for cell phones for about 2 years. I play with it, but it's not really practical. It says mine charges 5 AA batteries and comes with different connector types for different cell models. So basically says he leaves it in the sun all the time, and it really, it's slow to recharging thing. Takes a couple of days. Got an email from JP again, another email from an IBM PC from 1981, hack to play full motion video. I'll have this link up in the show notes. Got an email from Mozu. He says, superb editor analysis on the ethanol hoax. I don't know about this. This might be spam. I don't know. That's going to ASP page. I'll be real careful about giving you guys that one. Got an email from Chris. He says, Todd, for your information, I'm still not getting the show notes regular in my email inbox. This was the last one I received. I've double-checked and Geek at Geek News Central is on my waitlist, so the show notes aren't getting swelled. We're still having problems on the new server. Essentially, there's a bug in the email sending program that's on that box, and I just haven't had time to reinstall it, so I've been sending it from the techpodcast.com domain. We've got the same mailing software over there. So what I'm sure is happening is that probably your email provider is saying, hey, if this is coming from Geek at geeknewscentral.com, but yet it's being sent from a computer at techpodcast.com, something's not jiving and it probably rejects it. That's probably what's happened, Chris. So I apologize, and gosh, I need to get it fixed and get it get the so that, you know, everyone gets the emails. It's got to be a priority, and I'll make it a priority. So that's why some of you have not been getting the show notes. Got a whole stack here of more stuff. Got an email from Jeff out of Louisville, and this is just a real long email, but I do appreciate you sending me this. And this is actually, I thought I had this linked up in the show notes. It's an article from Ars Technica talking about a Wi-Fi flu viral router attack, which could hit whole cities. And I'll find that. Did you provide me the link here? I will find the actual. Actually, you did. I'll put this link in the show notes. Everyone needs to read this, especially if you have Wi-Fi that's unsecure, or if you're running some of the lower encryption types on your Wi-Fi device. This is scary, what could happen. Some of the stuff that people are doing out there. Okay, also, I got an email from Michael, and he sent me a link to a new projector you can carry in your pocket. I think I saw one of these, but I'll link this up in the show notes. And Michael's another person that's not getting the show notes, so I'll work on getting you added to the other list, Michael. All right, folks, that's it. And all through all the email, got caught up. Everyone, thanks for all the great commentary. A little off timing tonight, apologize, but hey, it's a new year, so we're kind of back in the saddle, getting back in saddle mode. Look forward to bringing some great coverage from the Consumer Electronics Show. Thanks everyone for staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana. Really, it's my pleasure to bring these shows to you, and we look forward to another great year. I am going out to CES at this moment without a sponsor, even though we I did receive a phone call very late this afternoon saying, hey, there's someone that might be interested. It's a weird deal. I don't understand. Well, we can talk about this another time. If you feel like it, we've got a CES fund button or a PayPal button up on the Geek News Central website. If you feel like the commentary and content's good, feel free to donate if you feel like you want to. That would definitely help us out and defer some cost as going out to Vegas for this event. Definitely appreciate all your support, though, for this show and doing what we do here. We wouldn't be possible without all of you. And, of course, your support of the sponsors is significantly appreciated as well. All right, folks, until next week at CES, I bid you farewell, and we'll see you soon from Las Vegas, where the city never sleeps, and where probably I won't either. So take care, and aloha.